thatgreatbusinessshow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to That Great Business Show, episode 54, an episode we're calling the bonus episode for reasons that will become apparent shortly. On this episode, I'm joined by four women, Sinead Crowley, Mary McKenna, Mary Carty, and Claire McGee, all founders of Awaken Hub, a not-for-profit social enterprise founded in 2020 that aims to support and amplify women founders across the Ireland of Ireland, or IOI, as they like to say. 70 Irish-connected women joined them for their first event in July 2020. Women based in Ireland, US, Paris, Oxford, London, Copenhagen, and Munich. The reason this is a bonus episode is that we wanted to get it out before their next event. That's on next Tuesday, the 28th of September, 5 p.m. Irish time, as they launch the Awaken Hub She Generate Accelerator Lite. The founders say they have no agenda other than to change the landscape for other women founders and open up the investor community for women across Ireland, north and south. The founders, who are based in a number of different jurisdictions, haven't actually met in person for 20 months. Thank you, COVID. That is, until a few minutes ago. So let's say there's a certain excitement in the air. Before we start, I like to remind listeners that the Great Business Show is made possible by the backing of DeFactoShave.com, makers of the world's finest all-natural shaving oil.
Gnobio, at That Great Business Show.
Let us kick off by introducing the first two founders of Awaken Hub, Sinead Crowley and Mary McKenna. You are both most welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much.
Sinead, for a second there, I thought you weren't going to say anything at all. Because I know once I press the button, you'll be away. So let me ask the obvious question, because this is the one that's been sitting in my head since we made contact. Why is Awaken Hub called Awaken Hub? Mary?
Because it's about awakening entrepreneurship in women. And that's what we think of it as.
And is that necessary? We, on this show, at the podcast, we have made it our business to have 50-50 gender balance. And I am finding more and more and more and more great women in business. Is there a need for a further push to get more women into business?
We think so. And the amount of women that have joined our community since we launched just over a year ago is 1,200.
Whoa.
So that would suggest, that there is a demand.
I actually didn't know that number. I thought it was way, way lower than that. 1,200. Now, 1,200. Of those people, and I presume you've done some analysis of them, are they all in business?
Some of them are in business already, but many of them are women who are thinking about starting a business soon. And women approach this differently from men. They like to plan. They like to have all their ducks in a row. They don't just jump out of their job and start something tomorrow. They like to have a plan.
That is called being sensible.
So many women join so that they can meet other women, get their, just line things up a bit and start to have a tribe and have other women that they can learn things from.
I love that idea and that term, a tribe, because, you know, we do, and particularly on the podcast, we like to be Team GBS. We put our arms around our guests and say, listen, how can we help? A little bit about yourself, Mary McKenna. What's the background? I know you, but the world will not know you.
I know you too, Conal, yes.
She said in a threatening manner.
I'm a technology entrepreneur. I started a business in Derry back in 2006 called Learning Pool. I sold my half of it 7 years ago. And since then, I spend my time trying to help other women that are starting businesses. And this is a topic that we've discussed before, Conal, many times. So I do genuinely believe that women do need a bit of extra help. There's a lot of support out there for people starting businesses, but the fact that so many people have joined us in the last year would show that for one reason or another, women don't feel that what's being provided is exactly what they need and that they need something slightly different.
Interesting. Sinead, what is your background that would bring you into Awaken Hub, that would bring you trying to support, help as you call it, the tribe.
The tribe. Well, we like to describe ourselves in Awaken Hub as a community, as opposed to like a network, in that we see ourselves as being a safe space for women and prospective or nascent women founders to kind of come and find out more and learn more. My background, I'm from Cork.
Get away. That accent.
I am, boy. And I spent about 15 years in Cork in my kind of past life, working in socioeconomics and regional strategic development. And then moved to London, which is when we met, Conal, when I was global exec director of IIBN, which is another fabulous diaspora business network.
I have to interrupt you there to make sure that all these acronyms are broken out, and that is the Ireland International Business Network.
Exactly. Thank you. So my background is very much the kind of strategy, innovation, community building, and I suppose kind of the managing the relationships of people that will come into the community, and also building out relationships in terms of prospective sponsors and supporters, and accessing grants and funds and stuff as well.
Now, we are going to have the other two co-founders coming through here later on. But I want to make sure, for anybody listening at this point, please give details of the event next Tuesday. Who should go? Who should sign up? Why? What's going to happen?
Yeah, so we hold an event pretty much every month, usually on a Tuesday evening. This one is slightly different, in that we recently were very pleased to secure funding from Rethink Ireland's Social Enterprise Development Fund and an additional grant from Ulster Bank Northern Ireland, allowing us to develop a programme called She Generate. It's in response to COVID-19 and the fact that it's now been proven that women have been more negatively impacted during COVID, and being referred to as a She Session. And so She Generate is a programme of activity. It's Island of Ireland. It's the first and only Island of Ireland accelerator light, as we call it. So it's fairly light touch for nascent or very early stage women founders. And Tuesday night is our launch event for that, in terms of it's a promotional event and also an opportunity for any prospective person who'd like to apply to be part of She Generate to come along, hear a little bit more about it. But in the meantime, they can sign up. We have an expressions of interest form live on our website, and we would encourage any woman in every county in Ireland, sector agnostic, any background, social enterprise or limited company, to sign up.
And on Tuesday, what can they expect to see here?
So they'll hear a little bit more about what's entailed in the programme, in terms of what the benefits they'll get out of it, such as a series of workshops that we'll deliver tailored to the cohort once we select them. We will also be talking about a private Slack group that we have for women founders, which also includes a cohort of big sisters who are company builders, innovators, investors, entrepreneurs, who will be helping them on their journey over the next 6 months.
Not everybody is familiar with Slack. What does a Slack group mean?
So it's just a platform that you can use to communicate in. I'm no expert in it, to be honest, but our community came to us looking for a safe, private space for them to communicate with each other and ask those questions that they need to know more information about as a very early stage founder, and find out from women who've been there, done that, and can give them information back. So it's literally, it's an app that you can download, and you can be invited into. Some groups are open, ours is closed, so it's by invitation only. And it means people can ask each other questions in there and connect with each other.
By invitation only, meaning what? Who do you exclude? I'm always interested in who you exclude. Mary McKenna.
It's more about who we include, I think. We're very keen to keep, as Sinead calls it, to keep the Slack group as a sacred space. We don't want people in there that are going to try and sell stuff to other founders. There's a lot of this that goes on in the wider startup ecosystem, where particularly women do get preyed on by people a bit. So we're not having any of that happening in our Slack group.
So if anybody comes along, be that an accountant or an insurance person, or they're out.
Or a personal coach.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Okay, so 1,200 people. Despite COVID, 1,200 people, despite not a lot of marketing to date, that is a big number by any measure. What are they looking for? Mary McKenna.
It's a tough one to put your finger on that, I think, Conal. And as Sinead mentioned, we've been running an event now every month for the past 14 or 15 months. We expected, as everybody got zoomed out, that the numbers would drop off.
but they actually haven't. And we are told that in the absence of networking happening, our breakout rooms are the best thing since sliced bread. So people come along to, we've got two great speakers, for example, on Tuesday night. We've got the TikTok sensation, Mammy Banter, from Derry. And we've got Momobo Ogora, who's started Gorm Media over in Limerick. The two of them are speaking at our event Tuesday night. So you come along, you meet some new people, you listen to some speakers, and then we have some breakout networking breakout rooms. So you where people chat a little bit about their business.
All virtual.
The great thing about Zoom is nobody gets left out. It's inclusive.
You can also make dinner while you're watching it as well, of course.
You can do, yeah, but our people do keep their cameras on, which is another slightly unusual twist. You know,
so. Even for our Christmas jollies that we had in December, people were dressed up in reindeer outfits and Christmas jumpers and everything. It was good fun.
Looking back to last December, I think we were all on the verge of doing whatever just to jolly it up. Is this all free?
So we were free. So we're actually registered as a social enterprise. And I think Claire is going to talk to you a little bit more about that later on. But so for us to try and start, so we've done all of this for nothing ourselves to date as founders. We've resourced this ourselves. So in January, with the permission of the community, we asked them. They now pay £10 to come to our events, which we think makes it accessible to everyone. And it just gives us a little bit of revenue to start out. This event on Tuesday is, however, free and open to anybody. So as many people that would like to come along are welcome to come along to that.
What are the big hurdles to women getting into business, Mary?
There aren't any hurdles, I don't think, for women starting a business. But if they want to scale it, I think that's where things get tricky. And again, this is something that we've discussed in the past. Only a tiny percentage of investment money from venture capital firms goes to businesses that women start.
Why?
Oh, there's a litany of reasons for why this is. Most of the VCs themselves are men, not just men. They're men of a certain type. And it is that whole thing that if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it probably is a duck. But if you're not the duck, then nobody backs you.
But on the other hand, these venture capital companies are trying to make money. And if they think that Mary or Sinead are going to make the money, surely they're wise enough to put away prejudice or whatever you want to call it and say, good God, I have to get a bit of this.
So in Ireland, North and South, there's an awful lot of support for people that are starting software as a service businesses, fintech businesses. We all know about the high potential startups. Many of those organizations, and they're all very well funded and everything's tickety-boo, but many of those organizations, just the nature of the business, it's usually men that start them. The sorts of businesses that women tend to start don't qualify for many of those supports. So things that women are doing in rural Ireland, you know, if you're starting a small business in Tralee and you're going to employ 10 people and you're never going to be acquired by a West Coast giant, you're not as attractive to the VCs.
But they don't need VC investment. I mean, honestly, if they're making soap, you'd be overrun with the amount of money because of the amount of soap
but
that you're making.
But they do need investment.
Yeah, and but not VC investment.
Not VC, but yeah. But there's degrees.
Angels, maybe, or family and friends, as they like to call it as well.
Often they'll have exhausted their family and friends. They've asked everybody that they know to support them. And that's, I think, the point at which they come to us. It's that gap between family and friends and VC. They're our target.
And that is, I mean, I think, and I agree with you, that there is that gap there. And whether you're not bankable because you don't want to put your house or whatever you have on the line. Credit unions can't do it because the legislation won't allow them to do it. Microfinance Ireland will go to 25,000, but no more. There is that gap, isn't there?
There is a gap, but we're not specifically helping those women to raise funding at the moment. We're doing the earlier part, probably, which is helping them get their business up and running.
getting, as you said, the ducks in a row. Mm. Now, to those women, and I hope that many thousands will listen to this podcast, how much work, effort has to be put into getting those ducks in a row?
Yeah, a lot of people underestimate how difficult it's going to be.
Don't say that to them. Encourage them. Encourage them. It's not that hard, honestly.
There is, starting a business is not for the faint-hearted. There is a lot of work. But if you've got a community to help you with things, it will save you from making a lot of mistakes, and it will help you leapfrog over some of the hurdles and you'll get there quicker.
Well, were I a woman and were I hoping to start a business and I said, let's stick on, because I like using soap as an example. I want to make my soap. How will Awaken Hub literally physically help me in setting up and getting going and doing whatever I should be doing?
So signposting to other supports available in the ecosystem, that can be really confusing if you're a newbie entrepreneur. You know, you don't know the difference between the Leo and Enterprise Ireland and Invest Northern Ireland and everybody else that's out there. So a bit of signposting. We see the women in our community sharing stuff with each other. So, for example, they sometimes ask for shareholder agreements or contracts of employment, things like that. Somebody else will always say, oh, I've got one of those that I can let you have.
And every lawyer in the place saying, oh God, no, that's the biggest mistake ever.
And I guess they also, for example, that there are two people in the Awaken Hub community who've decided to co-found together. So they've joined forces. They each had their own business, but they've clubbed together and they're going to just do one thing as co-founders now.
Now, you don't have to name them or tell me what their businesses are, but if one was making widgets and one was making soap, have they decided to do something completely different because they just liked working together?
No, they've just put the two things together in a complementary way and they're just going to work together on it. So,
what's your measure, both of you? What is your measure of success that you think that you're, you know, sometimes you have to say, we're not hitting a target or that is our target. What is the target?
I think we're more in the business of planting 1,000 flowers and seeing what emerges.
Some will wilt, some will go forth.
That's it,
and
yeah.
Multiply.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But 1,000 flowers, would you... I don't know, there are 250,000 SMEs in the country. Any idea how many of those are women founded or women run? No. I presume, and maybe I'm wrong in doing so, is that the majority will be male. But would the ideal be that half of them will be female founded or female run?
We'd like to see that, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe more than half.
Relevant to this is the fact that at last, at the senior management level in banking, women are taking lead roles. Is that making any difference at all in the way that they're backing women founders, women entrepreneurs?
I think that what we hear on the street is it's still extremely difficult for small businesses to borrow from the banks. And so I suppose it doesn't really matter who's in charge. If they can't lend to you, they can't lend to you. And that's that.
Have you thought as an organisation to go to the States, to the people like Sarah Fryer, to see whether you can raise funds from internationally to fund startups, women startups in Ireland?
We would love to have some backing from anybody that's got any money, actually. And you're really lucky to have such a fabulous sponsor as you have.
Called?
De facto.
Shave.com. And did I prompt you to say that? No.
No.
Mary McKenna, thank you so much.
But we would love to have our very own de factos. Mm-hmm. So anybody that's listening and would like to get
Sarah
involved.
Sarah Fryer of Next Door. I don't know whether you do know Sarah.
Sarah's from Sion Mills in County Tyrone. So
correct.
I do know her, of course.
And she is very successful.
She is indeed.
And she's very supportive of women in business. So maybe she, can I suggest you get her onto your program ASAP? Now, don't mention the money early on. It's a bad idea. It's kind of, it would be seen as being infra-dig. Is that an aspiration that you might have a fund? I always love the idea of people putting together a fund. Now, the problem with funds is...
It's the R word, regulation.
Well, there's regulation of one thing, but you also... And people get annoyed when you're giving it the money. and they don't get the money from you? Mary gets it and John doesn't, or Jean doesn't, whatever.
I think that people appreciate that it's a competitive process accessing finance. And so it isn't just a case of showing up and asking for it. You know, there's a pitch deck.
There is
a plan.
You, Mary McKenna, are well versed in the ways of entrepreneurs, no matter what gender or in between. And many, frequently, often, I don't know how many ways I can say it, people are deluded. That's why we enjoy watching Dragon's Den, because people go on to that. I know it's a TV program. I know they deliberately choose people to make a fool of themselves. But why would you go on to national TV and make a fool of yourself that way?
I couldn't answer that question. I have no idea.
But what my point is, people don't seem to think...
Even when they get offered the money, they often say no.
Well, which is true. But I'd say there's something else behind that. Maybe that they've just gone on, as many have, just for the publicity. But in terms of the funding, is that surely you just go along. At least you know what your turnover is and what your margin is. Otherwise, you haven't really got an idea what your business is. Listen, that's only that we're going off, as I always do, down little rabbit holes, because I now have to take a quick break. That Great Business Show is made possible thanks to that great shaving oil company called De Facto, blended, manufactured and distributed from Mayo, Ireland. The world's best shaving oil is sold worldwide from their website, defactoshave.com. Please tell the world about them, as they're helping tell the world about other great Irish companies that have world domination in their sights.
ISME is the independent SME association, looking after the interests of all types of businesses across Ireland. ISME membership includes invaluable HR and general advice, training, promotional tools, members' discounts, events, and networking with fellow SMEs. ISME membership starts from €195 with easy pay options. ISME. Join today at isme.ie or email membership@isme.ie.
And still with me are Sinead Crowley and Mary McKenna of Awaken Hub. And joining us is another co-founder now, that is Claire McGee. Claire, how and why did you get involved in Awaken Hub?
Hi, Conal. Well, I suppose when you've got three great friends and an idea comes together, we were at Inspire Fest and we talked about wanting to help women founders, because we could see the gap from state agencies, or, you know, just the fear that women were experiencing. So whenever we kind of got together and talked about it, why wouldn't I get involved?
And I can hear a lovely IOI, Island of Ireland, accent there. Where is the accent from?
I'm a proud Derry girl.
Okay. And I should have asked you this originally. It is, and I say it again, Island of Ireland. What's the split like? Where are you picking up lots of Northern Ireland women, or what's that looking like, Claire?
Yeah, we have a split. We would have representation from nearly every county in Ireland, and our aim, one of our goals, is to have a female ambassador from every county in Ireland.
And what would that female ambassador do? Go and try to rouse more?
The female ambassador would be an Awaken Hubber who would in that county and in that area would be the go-to person should they need to access the support through Awaken Hub, or just want to chat things out and be the connector between all the other ambassadors and counties.
And not for profit. Why?
Because our aim isn't about, we're not for profit. So we're profit making, but not profit taking. So we like, this is...
That sounds like something that Amazon or somebody would say, except they make a lot of profit and they also take it as well.
I suppose for us, it's always about giving back. And when we came together, we thought, well, what's a good vehicle to basically make us independent, but also that people don't, you know, that outsiders don't look in and go, oh, they're just lining their pockets with something. So this was really, you know, a social enterprise. It's all about the social impact for us is more important than actually kind of making any money. Any money that we make goes back into us delivering our mission and our vision, which is that we have a really good, supported network community of female founders across the island.
I have to ask, because I was told by yourselves that you haven't met up in 20 months. What was it like meeting the ladies today? Was today the first day you met with them?
Last night we met.
Last night? What was that like?
It was tears of anxiety, laughter, excitement of getting back together. And it was just, it was really weird. Everybody being in the one room, it was like we had to kind of, it was like re-socializing again, coming together.
There is, but that,
it was
isn't there?
So
I had
fun.
To stop them from texting each other because I said, you're actually in the same room, you can just talk.
But there is that thing about re-socializing. I was lucky enough to get away just a week or two ago and just to do normal things. Hopefully we haven't forgotten how to do normal things.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we're really excited this evening. We're having a get together with a few people at Huckletree. And then we're really excited again about our event on Tuesday evening.
Good for you to mention it. Yeah. Well done, you. That'll be Tuesday, this coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday, the
20th. And what will that be?
That will be the 20th September at 5 p.m.
5 p.m., you're correct, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's on, is it on Zoom?
It's on Zoom, yeah.
Just as a matter of interest, because I was on a Microsoft Teams call yesterday. Why are you using Zoom, not Teams, or vice versa? It doesn't matter. I mean,
it's just very easy to use. Yeah, it was free at the beginning.
I think, is it not anymore? I use Zoom all the time. It's free. Oh, I know it is. If you go over 40 minutes or something,
But you know, we always go over 40 minutes.
I wonder why. Claire, what's your own business background?
I'm co-founder of Innovate NI. So we're an innovation consultant house based in the Northwest. So we support small business startups and growth companies across Northern Ireland.
What is that ecosystem like?
The ecosystem in Northern Ireland's great. You know, you do have, you know, there is the kind of the startup space, the growth space. You've invested in I and the enterprise agencies, and the FE colleges do a lot of great work as well, and the universities. But there is still that gap between startup and growth, that there isn't really bespoke support there.
We've had some people down from Northern Ireland from the Ignite NI programme. I had Stephen McPeak of Civic Dollars.
Oh, Civic Dollars. He's great,
Stephen,
isn't he?
Yeah. He is fantastic. And if you haven't heard about Civic Dollars, Stephen is on, I'd go back probably 6 or 8 episodes ago. It's a bloody brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And he is going to bring it international, and it's fantastic. So that is well worth checking out. Anything bubbling along on the woman side, on the female side, that you have seen, Claire McGee, on your side, that you would say they've got to get onto that Great Business Show? You don't have to name
we've
them.
Got lots of Awaken
will
Hubbers.
Will you send them to
yes,
me?
Yes, we will, of course.
Because we are, just like you, IOI, Ireland of Ireland. I keep tripping over that one. I had yesterday on the podcast, I remember aesthetician. A person with aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's lovely, lovely. Geraldine Jones of Skin Formulas. But I couldn't say her name, her title. So I gave up eventually. Yeah. So back to business here. I suppose I'm familiar enough with business, women in business, that I do know many of the issues that they face. And Mary, you've already mentioned funding and the reasons. Well, you didn't actually give me a reason why men aren't funding, because an investment is an investment and should be gender neutral, or should be actually blind. What, Claire McGee, or any other obstacles that women face?
The fear of failure, imposter syndrome, anxiety. Women would feel more anxious, and also women have to balance a lot more. And I'm not saying that as, you know, they have to balance, they're seen to have to balance family life and work in life. And sometimes they feel if they're given too much to work, the people are looking at them and going, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be spending more time with your family and stuff. You know, so there is, I think it's more confidence. It definitely is for females.
How can you get over that? Because, of course, LinkedIn, which is one of my go-tos, you look at men in LinkedIn, holy Jesus, that's all I'll say, is that they should all be running the world because they're all so brilliant. Women do not do that on LinkedIn. Why not?
Because they haven't joined our Awaken Hub community yet, and they haven't enjoyed the peer support from the community, and also to help that build their confidence. And
do you think, can you do that now? You know, anybody who looks at LinkedIn, you just kind of put tongue firmly in cheek, and somebody who's obviously, the first thing I always look at, how long have they spent anywhere? And you see that they've hopped and hopped and hopped and hopped. And that is a red flag to me. I know that younger people say, oh, well, it's about work experience. To me, I like to see a little bit of longevity. What, again, back to you, Claire McGee, is the what could you do for women to get rid of that imposter feeling?
We've been doing it already, Conal. Whenever we had our first event, even the likes of Sinead and myself were very shy. Although people always say, oh, you're not shy at all, but we are. And before we, if someone had asked to do a podcast or would have asked us to host an event, we were like, we'll get someone to do that for you. We know, we've known loads of people who could do that for you. So it's about putting yourself out there. So we've noticed, you know, we have a lot of females now within our community who will take the challenge. You know, they've seen other people, their peers doing it. So if they're asked to speak on a panel or they're asked to speak at a conference, then they're going, yes, but I don't really want to do it. So it's...
And yet, for every reason, it's good for your personal development. It's brilliant for your business. Because anybody, and Sinead, you know from my IBN, that unless people know about you and about your business, well, you're not going to get a start in the first place, are you?
Yeah, well, and I mean, that's a very important element of what we'll be addressing in our She Generate programme, Conal.
That'll be the She Generate that you'll be talking about on Tuesday, September the 28th at 5 p.m. on Zoom, open to every woman, and it's free.
Hired, Conal. Hired. Our Chief Marketing Officer, Conal O'Maron. Thank you. Welcome to the team. First man on the team, Conal. We're very much, I suppose, between the four of us, we have over a century of networking activity behind us.
I know.
There must be a nicer way of putting
that. We're only 27 each, so we started really early. But and we kind of realised, like, we've curated our networks, as you know more than yourself, very carefully over the years. And we manage that and we leverage them, but in a very trusted way. So if we go out and make an ask to somebody, they trust our reasons for asking, and they very rarely, if ever, say no. Part of what we'll be saying to women who are looking at taking that leap, I mean, maybe you have an idea in your head, or your circumstances have changed, your personal circumstances have changed over the last 12 or 18 months. Your geography has changed, you might be living somewhere else. You're just fed up with the daily grind, or you're just really inspired to do something by yourself. They're all, and Annie, are all of the reasons why you should fill in a form for the expression of interest for She Generate and see if you can get on our programme with us. And one of the big things we'll be looking at is saying there's no point in building a business if you don't have a community or a network that you can leverage behind it. So you almost have to start that work ever before, you know, having a business and then having nobody that you can help get you over the line or that you can sell it to ultimately, you'll be on a hiding to nothing.
Is there a suspicion amongst women that you won't get the support, or anybody who does give you support, that they're looking for something back?
Well, you would be gone in a hot second out of Awaken Hub, Conal, if that was your approach, as in you were looking to get something back. So again, that's why we're a community, not a network. And we're not saying, I mean, there's an absolute place in society for pure business networking. They're crucial. But ours is that sacred space. We see ourselves as a safe place for women to dip their toe in the water, get to know some other women, kind of feel, I mean, it's amazing to see, and there aren't enough of them, by the way, but it's amazing to see women who have done really well, like the Mary McKennas, the people who've built, bought, sold, exited, invested. But there's so
My
many women
who... My former co-host, Susan Spence of Softco.
There you go.
She would be a person of interest to you. And she is really, really top class and very, very, very encouraging of women. You mentioned one thing there that piqued my interest is the change of geography, COVID, sending people back to where they came from.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity, isn't it?
It's a massive opportunity. And I mean, there's the B word as well as the C word, right? Brexit.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And COVID combined. Like we've seen, as you know, some of us who've kind of bilocated between Ireland and the UK for the last decade or so anyway, we've seen a lot of our friends and stuff looking to move home for all of those reasons. And not only move home, but they're looking to move out of Dublin into Cork or out of Cork, Kerry, Donegal, wherever. So there's massive opportunity. And that's one of the really positive things about COVID. It's blown that whole situation open where people realise you can actually build and scale a business if you want to in any part of Ireland once you have the supports and a community that you can, I'm going to say it, Claire, lean into.
Well, Mary, one of the issues that, well, obviously the reason that you're here is to promote women in business, and what you have actually mentioned a few times now is the lack of investment in women in business, except that it's not peculiar to Ireland. It is also a common feature in the States, isn't it?
it's not just Ireland, but Ireland is really quite behind with this, Conal. And, you know, I'm a member of the HBAN network in Northern Ireland. And guess how many?
Halo Business Angel Network.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, we're on the TLAs, aren't we? There are only 3 women in the network.
Out of how many?
A few hundred, probably.
3?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
So...
I'm going to ask you some hard questions here.
I actively invest.
I know you do. And so obviously so the other 2. What do all the other women who have cash, who have an investments elsewhere, why aren't they not involved? Just out of pure curiosity, if nothing else, because just to see what's going down.
Well, I think there is a barrier. Like, it used to be if you wanted to join a HBAN meeting, you had to go to a hotel and walk into a room where, I can tell you the story about the very first time I ever did this.
Please do.
It was number 1 Aldwych in London, very, very fancy, fancy hotel. And it was in a private dining room with a solid door. You couldn't even peek through to see who was in there. You had to push the door open and go in.
I should hope so.
And I went into the room. I went into the room. I collected my badge. There was only 1 other female in the room.
Of how many people?
About 35, I would say.
Yeah.
And the other female was a young woman who was a student. She was actually the HBAN person's daughter, and she was handing out the badges and serving the wine. That was what she was there to do that evening. When I went over with my badge and started chatting to a few men, I could see them looking at me, sort of thinking, like, she hasn't even topped my wine glass up yet. It was that, you know, what, now she's trying to talk to me about startups. Like, but anyway, I persevered with it. And what happened was eventually I used to go along every month and they realised that I had technology background. So what then generally happened was after the pitch had taken place and the founder had left the room, all 30 pairs of eyes around the table, because they would be quite elderly, usually elderly men, would look at me and ask me to explain what the business had just pitched to them about, because they didn't really understand technology.
Which proves the point that investment knowledge is gender blind, or should be.
So I would even go as far as to say that this is something that men keep from women. They don't really want women to start coming in and investing in companies and taking away their opportunities.
Some men.
Some men. Only some men, Conal.
I hope so.
Only some.
Like,
but it is an asset class that is largely denied to women. So, for example, I heard an interesting stat this week from the UK Business Angels Association. They say that 90% of accountants and professional advisors will not advise high net worth women to invest in companies. They just don't even mention it to them. They don't think it's appropriate because it's too high risk. And obviously women are not risk takers.
But then to counter that, because I'm aware of there are people like Laura Devoy down in Good Buddy Stockbrokers whose aim is to get women to understand about investment and to do it. Like, so therefore, there's a massive opportunity there, for example.
We think so.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a bigger picture plan.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
We've got a phase 2.
We've got a phase 2, yeah.
You didn't tell me this.
We might even have a phase 3.
Surprise.
We might even have a phase 3.
Well, let's get to phase 2.
So our overall objective is to democratize the founder and investor landscape for women. And by that, we want to make it more accessible for women to invest in women founders across the island of Ireland. The challenge is how we're actually going to manage to do that, which is what we're working on at the moment behind the scenes. So it's not we're not saying watch this space to be like funny or all whatever. It's complicated. One, because we're looking at 2 jurisdictions, and 2, there's the whole regulatory thing or not or whatever. So we're actively working on it. And to us, for us to achieve our overall mission, we see the Awaken Hub community as a funnel of prospective young, when I say young, I mean in terms of the age of their business, not the age profile, early stage women founders, that we can widen that funnel of women that eventually could work their way up through into some kind of investment vehicle, of which we can't, you know, put any more structure on it at the moment for now.
That sounds very positive, doesn't it?
But yeah.
And that's phase 2.
Yeah.
Mary, you went to phase 3. What is phase three?
I'm just thinking that once you've mobilised thousands of women across Ireland into a community together, what else could you do with them past business? Politics, maybe?
Maybe. But we don't go into politics.
We don't discuss politics on that great business show.
The question about the fund and all of that, like, idea of timeline? Five years, two years, three years?
Sooner rather than later.
Of course, but as in, realistically, 2-3 years?
Maybe less than that. Next year, maybe.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, our plan is, in terms of democratizing, is to level up women as potential investors and to encourage women and to be able to facilitate them to invest lower amounts as well as higher amounts so that they can learn about the process.
You, Sinead, are living in the UK. Mary, you were living in the UK. And I'm not going to go anywhere near Derry, London. No. What's the scene in the UK vis-a-vis women and what you're trying to do? Is there anything similar or...?
We don't think so, no. We
That's really
seen
good,
anything.
Isn't it? I mean, good in the sense that you're leading the way.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, again, for us, I mean... And we're not political, right? So we're on the right show, Conall. we are Island of Ireland, and we're very strong about that. For us, it's a 32 counties. We don't care where you sit with politics or
business
any of that
doesn't
kind of whatever.
Care, right?
No,
exactly.
But we care.
Yeah, you know, like
we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we're really serious about what we're trying to achieve in terms of Awaken Hub. And Awaken Angels is what we're looking at for the investment. As I say, vehicle rather than fund at the moment until we know what's what.
I hope you have registered that name because I just heard it.
.com.
Very good. Listen, I'm going to have to take another quick break because I have to tell everybody that today's guests have come from various parts of the world as travel restrictions ease. As they do, more of us hopefully will travel. And when you do, make sure to bring De Facto Shaving Oil along as your travel companion. One tiny little bottle is all you need for all your shaving needs, man or woman. As creator Tom Murphy likes to say, it's the best anyone can get. DeFactoShave.com.
Backing great women-led businesses on every show.
And you are back on episode 54 of That Great Business Show, what we are calling the bonus issue, because we're talking all matters Awaken Hub. And Awaken Hub are having a big do on next Tuesday, the 28th, 5 p.m. Irish times. And I mention Irish times because Awaken Hub is maybe based in Ireland, but it has an international audience. And it is a Zoom event for women about business. So, Claire McGee has left us. But we're now joined by another of the co-founders of Awaken Hub, Mary Carty. Mary, you're very, very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What is your own background?
My background is a bit different from the rest of the co-founders. My background's in fine art and curatorship. And then I took a leap into tech about 15 years ago and learned a whole new industry. And it's been fascinating. So now I kind of, I suppose, combine the creativity and innovation in the technology piece.
Did you know, because you probably do, that the likes of Google, Facebook and all are no longer hiring techies, but they are hiring people who are in fine arts and things like that, because your brain is different.
Yes, and this is where I think creative entrepreneurs have a huge advantage. And I think actually the future is more about being creative and bringing people together from diverse backgrounds and being that bridge, that connector between one type of knowledge and another. I think that's really important. So I'm not surprised.
And that's why when I look at all these CAO applications for this degree and that degree, I keep saying, you have no idea that the digital revolution is happening right now. And anybody who's going in, like, shouldn't say this, maybe, accountants, your job is going to be done by robots, not in the future, but immediately. Journalists are already having their copy written by robots. Doctors are seeing interventions, as in surgery, being done by robots. It's all over unless you are creative. Isn't that right, Mary Carty?
Yes, that's the thing. And I think to encourage all of us that we are all creative. And even though I think sometimes we feel that's been knocked out of us in some way or another, you find your community and you can innovate together and collaborate. And I think collaboration is the big thing, which I suppose is one of the very big reasons why Awaken Hub was such an amazing thing too.
And how did you get involved with them, or how did they find you? Or
InspireFest. It comes back to InspireFest. I think it might have been the year that I spoke at InspireFest and we all sat down. And
that's Anne O'Dea's event.
Anne O'Dea, yeah.
Another brilliant woman.
Absolutely. Future human now. And we all got around a table.
It's not that she's a future human now.
The that's right. The event is now called Future Human. Exactly. We got around a table and we were talking about our networks and how could we put them together for good. And anyway, COVID hit and we were all at home and now we have Awaken Hub.
What would you like to see from your perspective, as in given the, you know, the creative side? Because obviously it's my absolute passion. Anything creative. I just want to see my kids doing anything that's creative. What would you like that Awaken Hub would do? What would you...
I think Awaken Hub for many people will open doors. And what I really like is that cross-pollination of conversation, people coming together from different backgrounds, people being curious about what's happening in the world, trends, noticing what's happening next, how can you improve upon, or what's the gaps? And when you bring people together, a gap that I see in one area, somebody else might have solved. And by bringing that diverse thought and innovation together, and just open curiosity... For me, Awaken Hub is that great facilitator and a democratizer. And, you know, being welcoming and friendly, that is incredibly important because nobody is going to trust you with their idea or ask your advice unless they trust you. And that's incredibly important. So for me, they are all the things that Awaken Hub does really well.
Do you find that that's necessary, being a woman, that you need that kind of welcoming thing from other women? And let me just go off a little sidebar here. Wasn't it Madeleine Albright who famously said, there's a special place in hell for women who do not help other women?
Mm-hmm. Look, I think anybody who starts a business needs that. I mean, it is brave to start a business. It's also lonely. And we do know from research that for women starting a business, it's actually more so because many women have not developed those professional networks that men have. That's just life. That's just the way it is. Women often have interruptions.
That's called the patriarchy as well.
That's true.
So I swear to God, the more you look into it, men, we are brilliant.
You're brilliant, Conal.
No, men are brilliant at running the world. Mm-hmm. Did you notice how good the world is? Oh, Jesus.
But when you think about that, women a lot of the time have gaps in their career or they've had to leave and they haven't had that same continuation of network. So it takes a bit of time to develop that. And I suppose we are the pre-packaged, ready-made network that you can delve into, and build that out.
When you heard about Awaken Hub first, or maybe you came up with the idea, I don't know who came up with the idea first? Awaken Hub. I mean, was somebody sitting in the bath or in the shower? I do all my thinking in the shower. That's in case you're thinking, why is he talking about showers?
As in the word Awaken Hub or the concept?
No, just the whole concept.
Well, I mean, as Mary said, like 3-4 years ago, we had started the idea of doing something.
And this we now, Tonto?
So the we originally was Mary McKenna and I and our friend Denise McQuaid. And then we added in Mary Carty and Claire McGee. Into that.
Okay.
We were all friends anyway. Yeah. So
you're sitting over dinner and you say, do you know what the world needs is this kind of an event or this kind of an organization?
Yeah, well, that was the earlier iteration. Awaken Hub itself absolutely came out of COVID. I mean, there was lockdown. We were all getting separate approaches through LinkedIn, through our networks or whatever, saying, can you help me please? You know, my business that I...
From women.
Yes. All from women. I'm stuck. My business that I had has now just died overnight or, you know, all these other reasons. So then we realised this is actually the thing that we were looking for and we didn't know ourselves that that's what it was. And Awaken Hub itself had existed. Mary McKenna and Claire McGee had done a little pitch event in Galway, was it, Mary?
Yeah, called 300 Seconds Ireland, which was about getting women to start public speaking because Claire and I were so fed up about going to tech conferences and there would be women sitting on panels occasionally, but there was never any women that would keynote and get up and speak. So Claire and I decided to fix that. So we did a few little events around Ireland where we had women stand up and talk for 300 seconds, which is 5 minutes. Anybody can do that.
So we just used then, we had the Awaken Hub, but we hadn't there had no more had been done with that between then and COVID. So we just said, we came up with all these different names, and we were probably a couple of weeks, but all loads of different names and Irish names and all the rest of it, and anything that we could find, Osqueilge with a she or a warrior or a whatever, something that evoked kind of community and strength and tenacity and kindness as well. It's a big part of what we do, is about being kind and being good to each other.
Just to talk to me about that, because that would be an area of big interest to me. Mm-hmm. About being kind,
yeah.
Because in business, most people who don't know about business think it is ferocious, it's wicked, it's horrible, people stamp it on each other. Of course there are those people, as in life. But my experience, be it man, woman or child who is in business, they do support each other. Isn't there a kind of a common community
there
in
is,
that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, if you're in business, you need support from other people, people to believe in you, people to write that first check. People to invite you on a podcast. You need all that. And that is kindness. And yes, business can be all those other things too. I think that ethos, and I think over COVID, that's become even more apparent for people, that being kind and being open and being generous is incredibly important. And maybe we've had a bit of a dose of figuring out why that is over the last 20 months or so.
Mm-hmm. As the Americans love to call it, paying it forward.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
they do that?
Yeah, like yourself, Conal. I mean, like, we've known each other for years. And I mean, you go over and above when it comes, especially with your podcast here. I mean, I know that your percentile, I don't know what the figures are, but I listen to all of your shows. There must be more women than men that have appeared on your show.
There are, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I'm really
you know,
proud of that.
So even though it's funny, because I said we have like 1,200 something people in our community, about 1,169 or 75 of them or something are women. There are literally a handful of men. So it's not that we don't welcome
or is there,
men
may I
and
join?
Allies. Connell Honorary Lifetime Member.
I would love to join. I want your women within the community to get onto the podcast, because we are always looking for great businesses, great women-led businesses to put onto that great business show.
We'll line them up for you, Connell.
Please do.
We've got tons of them. Brilliant
now,
women.
Back to the idea of kindness and support, because I want to bang on about this a bit myself, is that I've had Tony Smurfit on here. Now, he runs an organization of 46,000 people in 38 countries or something like that. He is supportive of other businesses. Yeah. I love people in business, doesn't matter about the gender, who help others. And it does happen, doesn't it? I wonder, do those, in this case, women who are starting out, do they actually realize that people do help you in business? Or is that kind of unlike, they're just not aware of it?
Maybe when you start out, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
That is the thing. What you don't know, what you don't know. And I think you need that place to ask those questions. Is this normal? Can I ask that question? Does that honestly happen? How do I approach this? How do I approach that? I think very soon you do realize that people are very kind and generous and they do help out.
They have a natural curiosity, isn't it? Because
yes.
they want to know more about your business. That's
yes.
what I find.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, Mary knows all about that. I'll put you in contact with Mary because she's done that
exactly.
in herself and whatever, yeah.
And the thing is, we all want to help each other out. That's an inherent, you know, human capacity. And we all like to give good review or be helpful. And we get something back from that. So that transaction in itself lends itself to paying that forward, because I've helped you out and then you will help me out or somebody else. And I think that's a really nice thing to develop.
That is the theory. Sometimes it doesn't actually go into practice, but in general,
yes.
I think it does. And
yes,
again,
I
mentioned the Americans and they're paying it forward.
Yeah.
Right. We are going to come up to the end of our little chat. Didn't I tell you it goes so fast? Mm-hmm. So you better start yet again to remind people, your community, as to what you want them to do, not just on Tuesday, because mm-hmm. Tuesday is just one event, because there will be further events. Who wants to take that one?
They're all looking at me, Conor.
You go, girl.
So, I mean, one, you know, the community is open to any woman on the island of Ireland.
Hang on, and me.
You just got me in. I know that, but our primary focus, obviously, is the Colleeni, right? So, any woman on the island of Ireland, or actually women in the Irish diaspora, who are ever, you know, even considering the thought of becoming a founder, or allies who wish to support us and them. So just log on to our website, awakenhub.com, sign up to our subscriber list 3 to do that. Come along to one of our events send us an email. We're also looking, we're doing our She Generate program over the next 6 months. But, you know, as a very early stage startup ourselves, in essence, we need to secure additional supports into next year. So if there's anybody out there who's looking to support us or sponsor us in some way, we'd love to have a conversation with them. Just get in touch. Follow us on Twitter at awakenedhub.com, and we're on Instagram as well.
And to be clear, the She Generate program will last for...
Between November and May, but most of the activity will be done between November and February.
And it'll be done remotely?
It'll be done remotely.
Okay. Yeah. And will there be a cost?
No, it's free. Absolutely free. Thanks to Rethink Ireland and Ulster Bank, who've given us a grant to do that.
Now, I'm going to give you a further shout out, because I am involved with the Ireland Connecticut Business Council. And for any woman who is trying to get into the States, or any woman in the States who's trying to get into Ireland and or join up with your network, the Ireland Connecticut Business Council, which was really founded by a great, 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 great guy called PJ Cimini, who's not Irish, but he wants to be Irish, I think. And that is wide open. We meet every Wednesday for 30 minutes on a Zoom call, and that is wide open to anybody who wants to pitch their businesses, be it product or service or whatever, to Connecticut. And there are some great Irish Americans and Irish people over in Connecticut who are nuts keen, as we were mentioning, to help.
Very good.
Because that's what they do, and they like
doing
that. And that's
sort
of free and for nothing. Okay, we will wrap it there, I think. So I have to thank everybody here. So that will be Sinead Crowley, Mary McKenna, Mary Carty, and Claire McGee, the four founders of Awaken Hub.
Thanks
right?
so much.
Or did I miss Denise? Or
no, Denise is our pal.
Oh, so she's a pal. All right.
Well, yeah.
And that is it from this bonus episode, episode 53 of That Great Business Show. My thanks, as I mentioned, to the ladies of Awaken Hub for getting in touch and for doing an extraordinary job on social media. You guys are brilliant on social media. In fact, I'll go further. You're a bit nuts. To tell the world that we're joining what listeners say is, quote, Ireland's best business podcast.
Okay.
I knew we'd have a laugh. On sound today was the ever-obliging Rob Curry. Peter Rice will add in the zings and things later on. Both are part of the team here at the Dublin Podcast Studios. We will be back next week with episode 55. And if you like what you hear, please do tell us and tell your pals. We're on Twitter on Team GBS1, on LinkedIn with our very own very active That Great Business Show page. And making podcasts is our game at Team GBS. So if, like Love Irish Food, you'd like us to produce world-class podcasts for your business, find us on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. Sinead, gideon tachtin shachuin, wimsa, kunnel amoran, slán tamal.